Good morning. All right. One of you is awake this morning. That's awesome. Oh, hey. Good morning. Welcome to Real Life Silver Valley. Happy to see you all that ventured out into the white stuff this morning. I know some of the kids are pretty excited, right? There's snow. Brody, be excited. Okay. Go ahead and stand with us this morning as we start off praising God.
Good morning, lifers. Go ahead and have a seat. We are going to exercise our right to worship Jesus this morning. So, everybody get ready to do some exercises. Yeah. Kathy's like, yes. Everybody else is like, it's too early. We got to do something. It's wintertime. We're not going to get the same exercise we normally get. If you got in the door without a bulletin, raise your hand. And please notice there is an insert. Those little guys like to run away from us. And then you have to go chase it, or somebody has to say, you dropped that, and... Thank you. See? She's awesome. And she pays attention. If you wouldn't mind filling out that connection card at the bottom, we sure would appreciate it. And put it in the basket later on as it goes by. How about we pray? Father God, thank you for the changing seasons. It's beautiful to be able to see you at work, Father. I just pray that everybody stays safe this morning as we're traveling about and new driving conditions. It seems like we forget how to drive in this weather sometimes, God. And I just pray that you keep your hand over everyone, keep everybody safe. And Father, as we worship you this morning, and we do live in a country where we can exercise our right to openly proclaim your name, Father, I just pray that we realize that and we do it wholeheartedly, Father. I thank you for each person who is here this morning. In your name, amen. Would you guys mind standing and greeting one another this morning?
God, we are yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are your children. Thank you, Abba Father, for loving us, for desiring to spend time with us. Thank you that you even see us, that you are mindful of us. Lord, I just pray that we would grab hold of you this morning, and we would just sit in your presence, and then we would walk out of here today and this week shouting your praises because of who you are. We love you in your son's name. Amen.
Yeah, Father God, that song that we just sang is true. That you have given your followers the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to overcome, the power to walk in freedom, the power to not be ruled by sin and shame, but to walk in your glory and to walk in your majesty and to walk in your victory, Lord. And I pray this morning we would come closer to experiencing that, that you would do a mighty work in our lives today. You would give hope, Lord, to those that are struggling today. You would do something mighty to show those that question whether you hear them or see them that you do. And we would see your goodness this morning because you are a good God. And we praise you. You are worthy of all praise. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. Welcome. I'm so glad to see you. If someone is looking for a seat, there's plenty of room in the front row. I promise not to spit on you, honest. You guys doing okay this morning? Winter storm warning and 8 inches or 7 inches didn't come here. It just proves that God answers my prayers anyway. The media team put together a video to tell you a couple of things that are upcoming. So please watch this with us. Yes, yes. Don did a great job, and that was like much of that was his idea on how we wanted to put this thing together. So it was awesome. Hey, those of you that are parents, that November 18th, Parents Night Out, there are sign-up sheets right now out at the Connecting Point. The whole purpose of this night is to give you some time where you can go do whatever it is you want to do. If you want to go on a date, one of the ladies from Friday night last week told me it sounds like a great time to go take a nap. Awesome. Go take a nap. Whatever it is, we've got vetted people that want to love you. Love your kids. It'll be super safe environment here at the church. And it's just the way we want to bless you. And this is like our first time of trying it out to see how it goes. So we'd be super grateful for feedback. So because we want to open it up maybe potentially to the community down the road. So we're just kind of praying through it and see what that looks like. So anyway, that's going on. And I think I'd like to tell you about the Thanksgiving dinner that's coming up. So I'm going to find you a microphone. Let's try, how about green wire? Does that work, Ryan? This is Christy Jacobs, our benevolence team leader, and the sharer of my same last name. Huh.
Good morning, family. How are you?
My better half. Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know kind of what we're doing this year for Thanksgiving, something a little bit different. In the past, we have provided turkey boxes for people in need in our community. And praying through it this last year, we decided to try something a little bit different and feel like God is calling us into deeper relationship with each other, but deeper relationship with our valley. And so one of the ways that we're going to serve them this year is by actually hosting a Thanksgiving dinner here at the church on Thanksgiving Day. And this isn't just for people who are in need. This is for people who might not have anybody to share a meal with that day. Gene and I, if we had a house the size of this building, we would have it packed for Thanksgiving, and we don't. So we thought, let's just use the church, and we will. So we are inviting anybody and everybody that you know that would want to come and have dinner with us. Now, one of the ways that we're asking you as a church to help are actually purchasing a meal for somebody for $8. Very reasonable cost. Even little ones can raise money to do that. We're pretty sure that that will cover everything. And then another way that we're asking is if you'd just be willing to donate a food item toward the meal. We're going to cook it and prepare it here and serve it. I have a list. I'll be out at the connecting point after church, and I can email you. I can Instagram you. I can Facebook you. I can text you. I can do whatever you need electronically to send you a list, or I'll write down the copy for you if you need a hard copy. Stick it in your wallet when you go grocery shopping and pick up one item for the dinner. The third way that we're asking you to serve is to come here that day and help. You can help us serve the food. You can help us connect with people, share a relationship. Eric Pankey, I'm so excited. One of the things that he asked me Friday after church was, you mean I just get to sit and visit with people? I said, yeah, that's what you get to do. And that's his sweet spot. So he's going to come and do that. We're also asking for people to give rides. If you don't want to come for dinner, but you're able to give somebody a ride, we would appreciate that also. We have people that come through our food room. We have over 100 seniors a month that use our food room. And most of them can only come via a caregiver. So those are the people that we're going to really invite through the food room throughout the next couple weeks and ask them if they want to come and if they need a ride. So what we're asking for is people who'd be willing to go pick them up and bring them and get them home. So I'll be out at the connecting point after service. Come see me if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer them. I really didn't want to screw this up here, so I'm nervous, and I know I'll forget something. So come see me afterwards, and we'll connect. So thank you, family.
Awesome. As you can tell, those of you that don't know us, I married way up. I am batting out of my weight class for sure. So anyway, as we pray through this, this is the other way that you can help, and we invite you to, and we covet this, is that we pray for those that in our community that we're going to get an opportunity to see. As I've been talking a lot about here lately, America is the loneliest it's ever been. And there's a lot of people in our community that don't have families like we do. So this is that opportunity for them to introduce them, not only to a family to have Thanksgiving dinner with, but our bigger idea is that we want to invite them into God's family, to know Him and into a place where they can meet Jesus, and a place where they can grow in the purpose that God created them for. So we just invite you to be a part of that. We're going to pray for our offering. It's a time for us to worship. As we give back of our resources, it's a time for us to ask God to speak to us through His Word. And it's a time that we ask God to give us the courage to respond to His Word. Because we want to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, right? And one of the things I love about this church is I get to watch you do that. But for me this morning, I've just got to kind of take a moment and refocus my heart and my mind, because like some people, I get lost in the woods sometimes, and I start actually thinking the world's all about me. Imagine my surprise when I find out it's not. So let's just take a moment this morning and ask God to bless this time. Father God, we love you and we thank you. You are so good to us. We thank you, Lord God, for this family we get to be a part of. We thank you, Lord God, at the strength that there is when we do things together, when we are empowered by your Holy Spirit to do your things, when we set aside our own personal kingdoms and we seek to grow yours, Father. We thank you how you empower us and how you encourage us and how you comfort us and how we get to see mighty results from the things that you do. So we pray, Father, we pray for this Thanksgiving dinner that's coming up, that you've called us, Lord, to reach this community one person at a time. And we believe this is just one more step at doing that. So we pray you'd give us wisdom. We pray that you would provide for it, Lord. We trust you with the results. We thank you as we get to give of our resources this morning. We ask, Father God, that we would be generous as you're generous. You've given us everything. And so, Lord, we want to share it with others. We pray you'd give us wisdom to know how to use those resources. I thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I thank you that you've kept your word until 2017 for us to hear it. And that it was written with power, breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that power is here today. So we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us in power. We ask that you would give us courage to respond to you, that you would destroy our apathy, Lord, and help us to care about the things that you care about. I thank you, Lord God, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this community that we get to be a part of, and we ask that you'd be glorified today, Jesus. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'll just ask the servers to come receive the offering and connection cards, prayer cards this morning. If you would turn those in, that would be excellent. Lots of things out at the connecting point to sign up for the parents' night out. There's a sign-up sheet out there. We're just asking you to give us a head count so we make sure we have enough snacks and craft supplies for your children. So those of you that weren't here, last week we celebrated our 10-year anniversary as a church. It's amazing. How many were here at the beginning? Okay, there's a few of you. There's quite a few more who weren't here at the very beginning Friday night. There were maybe a few more of our first week people that were here. If you know me, you know I'm not much of a numbers guy. If I have to count above 10, one of my shoes is coming off. It's kind of the way God wired me, and it's frustrating, but it's the way I am. But last week, as we celebrated the 10-year anniversary, I shared with you a bunch of numbers, okay? And there's a couple of the numbers that I shared with you. One of them was that our benevolence team has fed almost 148,000 people in the last 10 years. I mean, that's amazing, right? That's a lot of people. I made them check the numbers a couple different times to make sure that they were right, because it seemed like it was so many people. In fact, I took a picture of them. This is our benevolence team right here, part of them. There's a couple of people that weren't there. And I just want to put their picture in front of you, because these are people every week that are in the front lines of the spiritual battle that exists in our community. These are people that sit and listen and love people who oftentimes or sometimes are in crisis, and they need to know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And these are the ones that get to be that Jesus in the flesh to so many people. Here's the other thing I want you to notice. They just look like normal people, right? Yet God does extraordinary things through them. 148,000 people. You know, the thing that maybe excited me even more is from the beginning of our church, we've had over 385 baptisms in our church. And it's amazing to me because, you know, as you're doing one person at a time, it's amazing how much that just adds up. And what I love about that is those are lives that have been forever changed by the power of God. It's cool. You guys don't look convinced. Last weekend, Monday night, we had, Tuesday night, we celebrated the Harvest Festival. And our church teamed up with Pinehurst Lions Club and Kellogg Junior ROTC helped us. 1,028 people were served that night. And we took numbers off to account for the people going back and forth. And no, that didn't include the servers. 701 of those people were children. Now, here's why that's exciting. What's the future of our community? It's kids, right? And so as we engage the children of our community, as we tell them about a God who's real, who loves them, regardless of what their home life looks like, regardless of what the world's telling them, we've got a God that tells them you were created for a purpose. And these people, we get to breathe life into those folks, 701 children. And here's what excites me about that, is they tell us that the church becomes less relevant in society today, that we don't have opportunities to engage those who are far from God. I think Tuesday night we learned that that's just a load of bunk. And here's what really got me kind of fired up over that, is as we're kind of preparing for this prayer series that we're continuing on today. By the way, we had over 100 volunteers there at the event between all three groups. What would happen if those 100 volunteers got down on their knees and intentionally, consistently, persistently prayed God-sized prayers for those 1,000 people that showed up? What could God do? What could God do in our community if 1,000 people's lives were changed by the power of the God that created the heavens and the earth? What could happen? It's huge, right? That's the mindset I want to go into this sermon this morning with, is what could God do? We started a series a couple weeks ago called Active Prayer. And in the first week, I introduced you to an acrostic that spells out active. And some of you that have been around church for a while know the prayer acrostic X. Some of you have heard of that, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I introduced you to another one called active. The acrostic spells out adoration, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, victory, and expectation. Adoration is when we pray about how good God is. Confession, we confess our sins to God. Thanksgiving, we thank God for all of the things that He does in our life. So it's that really cool transition piece where we go, not only are you good, God, but you're good in my life. Intercession is where we pray for others and ourselves. Victory is where we pray for Jesus to do battle against Satan regarding the situations that we're praying about. So it's where we get to enter into spiritual warfare. And then the expectation is where we pray expectantly, asking God to allow us to see Him at work in our lives. Because I think what happens sometimes is we pray for a lot of things, but we don't actually look for where God's answering our prayers. And as we enter winter, I don't know about you, but it gets dark around here. And I need to be looking for where God's at work to help me stay above the darkness. Anybody else? Okay. All right. This active prayer acrostic is not the only way that you can pray, and that's not why I offered it to you or I'm offering it to you. But it's another way to pray, or it's an addition to the prayers that you are praying, or maybe it's a way to start if you're not praying. And that's what this whole thing is about. Okay, here's the thing. The sermon that I preached a couple weeks ago, I've got more feedback than just about any sermon I've preached. I mean, it's been amazing to watch the interaction. I was at a care group the other night, and just listening to them as they've talked about what they're learning through this prayer, one sermon, the prayer series. And I really believe that we have this opportunity right now as a church to learn together how to experience things that God offers us, has for us, that we've never experienced before. I really believe that. This sermon today is probably the most important one in the series. And so I'm going to stick fairly close to my notes. And just asking that you would really try to tune in, and we'll walk through this together. One of the passages I shared in the first week was John chapter 14, verse 12. It's where we talked about the power of whatever. And here's what the passage says. This is Jesus speaking. And in John 14, 12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." So we paused for a moment in that first series and just talked about what was Jesus doing at that time. He was healing people and ministering to people that were sick and that were hungry and that had no purpose and had no, they were overwhelmed with shame and overwhelmed with guilt and overwhelmed with sin. And Jesus came in and introduced them to the grace that was available from God and introduced them to purpose and introduced them to value, right? And God says, we'll do even greater things than he did in those days. And then he goes on. And I will do, verse 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So as we wrestled through those, I gave you four or five passages last week talking about the whatevers, and we were talking about the whatevers, and it was fun because I had people going, oh, wait a second. Whatever I ask, he's going to give me. I had guys texting me the next day. One of the guys is like, that's not the experience of any Christian that we know. So maybe we're praying wrong or we're understanding wrong. I had someone at a couple days later say, but what's the catch? Okay. We're going to talk about the next part of that statement. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We're going to talk today about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's a powerful statement. To pray in the name of the Creator. Now, as we begin, I want you to hear this, that to pray in Jesus' name, those aren't like magic words that you just chant, right? You come up with this prayer and you're praying through some stuff and then you're like, oh no, I want to make sure this gets out in Jesus' name. And you add it on to the end, like somehow God's going to be like, oh, they said those words. Okay, I'll make it happen. It's not magic words that we try to manipulate God, okay? But they're super critical words. And they're really important tonight, today for us that we understand what those words mean when we pray them. In his book called Extreme Prayer, a guy by the name of Greg Pruitt mentions that any promise Jesus talks about five times before he dies must be vitally important. And he also talks in that book how the book, the Gospel of John is kind of marked by its economy of words. So John says a lot of things using a very few number of words, completely unlike me. In fact, come on, that was kind of funny. The economy words is so, he uses so few words that one of the most powerful claims about the divinity of Jesus are achieved with two simple words when Jesus says, I am. But the point he was trying to talk about was this point about prayer in Jesus' name that it carries so much weight and unlocks such vast power of God. And it's so counterintuitive that John records five instances that Jesus repeated it to us in my name, praying in my name, so that you and I won't miss it. So it must be important. I want to go back over the scriptures that I shared with you the first week and see this tie between the power of whatever and praying in Jesus' name. So the first one we're going to talk about is John chapter 14, verse 13. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, John 15, 7 is a little bit different because he's talking about his words remaining in you. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But again, we see the power of whatever. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 16:23 and 24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive your joy, and your joy will be complete. So you see that relationship, critical relationship. Ask for anything or whatever, and if you ask in my name, you will receive it. So we have to understand what it means to ask in Jesus' name. Does anyone remember the last sermon passage I gave you last week? I didn't think so. I had to go back and look it up too, actually, as we were working through it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Same apostle John. Later in the book, here's what he writes. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for him. So this is the fine print that people were looking for last week, okay? Is in my name, we can tie to according to my will. Would you agree? If you look at those, if you ask it according to my name, it's the same thing as Jesus saying, if you ask for anything according to my will. Here's what I love about the Bible. About so many things. God's not like hiding from you. He doesn't say something and then try to like hide behind the bush, wondering if you're going to figure it out. They'll never figure this thing out. God wants to reveal himself to you. I think it's challenging for us that sometimes we don't seek after him by reading the scriptures or praying or trying to find out what he says. So, whatever Jesus talks about in my name, the whatevers, is equal to the will of God. Would you agree? All right. So the question becomes, so when we pray, actually there's a question before that. And this is a question that you have to wrestle with. You've heard me say it before, that I believe God's way is the best way for your life. Do you agree? It's interesting how many people mouth that. And then go do something that they know is completely contrary to what God would have for them. And they just like, yeah, but God will forgive me. This will work out. Somehow my idea is better than God's idea at this juncture in my life. Do you believe God's way is the best way for your life? Do you believe that God loves you more than you love yourself? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God loves this community and that God loves this valley, that God loves your kids, that God loves your coworkers more than you do? Do you believe that's true? What we're talking about this morning, praying the whatevers in God's name, you know, in his will, is taking that belief that we believe God's way is best seriously. It's taking that seriously. And it's putting action to what we say we believe. So how do I pray the will of God? That's the question that we're left with this morning. Because here's the deal. He says whatever, the power of whatever, and he says that the power of heaven comes behind it. The power of God's glory comes behind those whatevers. He says, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask according to my will, I will give you. That's a bold, powerful statement. Would you agree? So I want to know what those things are that are in God's will so I can pray those things. Because it's easy for us to get kind of high-centered on that idea of praying God's will. Do you believe God has a plan for things? Do you believe God has a, you know, for me, I get really bound up because God has this plan for everything and every person. And what if I do something that's out of God's will? Right? I've sat with some of you where you have these two great ideas. You know, there's, let's use a job of employment or something, you know, a job or something that you're praying for. There's this job and it seems really good. And there's this job and it seems really good. And you're like, I don't know which one's which. Which one should I take? I don't know which one's in God's will. Which one's out of God's will. Right? You ever been there? You just get, we just want to sit and suck our thumbs and say, God, I don't know. Right? It seems impossible to know. Here's the other part of this praying in God's will. Some of you have been praying for years for stuff. Persistently, consistently. And you're like, I think this is what God wants to do. And yet, I'm not seeing it happen. Part of the question I think we have to ask is, when I pray these things, am I praying for God's will or am I praying for mine? Is prayer this thing that I'm using to try to bring God to my side to do what I want? Or is prayer this thing that God wants to bend my will to His? Because His way is best. When we pray in God's will, we're trying to discover what the desires and the wants of God's heart are. Because those are the things that He says that He will do. So as we kind of pray through this stuff, I want you to think for a moment about your typical prayers. About my typical prayers. God, I really hope that You'll make my wife like me. You'll make her normal. God, you know, I really don't want that person to get elected. God, if You could just give me that job. God, if You could give me that car. God, if You could help me score that touchdown. God, if that team would win. Whatever they are, one of the things that we have to wrestle with this morning, or are the prayers that you pray every week or every day a reflection of your desire, or are they a reflection of God's desire? Because that's kind of the bottom line here that we're wrestling with. Oftentimes what I have found is that my desires don't line up with God's. And I don't think I'm that much different than you are. Isaiah 55:9 says this, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know, we struggle every day in this lower story that I've introduced you to over these last couple weeks. Some of you this morning came in here and maybe you fought with your spouse. So that's kind of gnawing at the back of your head right now, that when we walk out of here, it's going to be round two. Some of you are so worried about, you know, the way your kids are interacting with their friends, or what's going on in their schools, or what's going on their job, on your jobs, and that one coworker, or even harder things. Like, I wonder how the diagnosis is going to come back. And these are real things. But I think sometimes God wants us to look just a little bit higher. And sometimes the things that God has in play, that's playing out in the upper story, the story where God exists and is in control of everything, that spiritual story that's going on is as real as the ones that we see every day, from eternity past to eternity future. Sometimes God has some things going on up there that it appears to conflict with what's going on down here. You know, Jesus, as we wrestle with my will against God's. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's the night before he was going to the cross. If you know the story, you know that he gathers three of his friends and he asks them to stand watch for him and to pray for him. And he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says in one of the gospel accounts that as he's praying, he's sweating blood. And he goes to the Father and he says, you know, if there's any other way, if you could take this cup from me. What's he say though? But not my will, but yours be done. So even in that moment, I believe that we see that while Jesus is fully God and fully man, there was a point in that prayer. It appears from the outward prayer that Jesus may be Jesus in the flesh, and his will was having a difficult time lining up with the will of God in heaven. But not my will, but yours be done. And he bent his will to the Father. And he went to the cross to be the sacrifice for our sins so we could have life. Here's the other part of this praying for things and God saying no. Do you know that God can say no to you in your prayers and still love you? This is a weird concept for some of us. And here's how I know that it can happen. You know, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. Sometimes God comes back with, no, not now. No, that's not what I have for you. I have something better, something different that you can't see yet. Sometimes God's like, nope, not now yet. I've got something down the road. This will happen later. Sometimes we see it, but it doesn't define, him saying no doesn't define how he feels about you. And as I've interacted with people more and more these last probably 5 years, this is a concept that's very, very hard for us to understand. We have become tied to our opinions. Our value becomes tied to our opinions. Okay? In fact, when God says no to you, he can actually still identify with the grief that you go through from him saying no. We see that in the story of Jesus and Lazarus. Jesus, if you're familiar with the story, there's a cemetery. It takes place in a cemetery. Jesus' friend named Lazarus dies. Jesus walks into the cemetery, and what are all the people doing there? They're all crying, right? Because Lazarus has died. Now, when Jesus marches in there, walks in, he doesn't go in there and say, oh, you guys are a bunch of dummies. Wipe your tears off. Don't you know who I am? Right? He doesn't do any of that. What does he do with them? He weeps. He mourns with them. So sometimes I believe God says no to you. And some of you right now, your heart, you're just grieving. And I believe Jesus grieves with you. But where I left you was, how do we pray God's will? The scriptures show us when we pray in Jesus' name, what we are doing is we're praying in his character. We're praying for everything that he believes and everything that he cares for and what's most important to him. And the beautiful thing is the scriptures lay that out for us. And I want to offer three passages to you this morning that will show us what things are close to Jesus's heart that we can pray for. The first one is one that we all know, most of us know, John 3:16-18. And we need to have this whole passage to be part of for the point of the sermon this morning. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. What I love about that passage, and it reminds me every time I read it in its entirety, is both the exclusivity of Jesus, but the inclusivity of Jesus. So as he's exclusive, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Would you agree? So I love that he is so exclusive. He says, I'm the only way for your sins to be washed clean. Do you believe that's true? Yeah, it's important. And I love that. But then the inclusivity is, but whoever shall come. Whoever wants to come and know me, whoever is willing to receive me as Savior and Lord, the gate's wide open for them. You see that? I love that. And it gives us we start getting a picture of God's heart. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is after Jesus rises from the dead. He starts out this passage. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is, because of my authority, because of my power, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, at that end, I'm with you always to the end of the age. There's not a second plan. There's not a second idea. This is what Jesus cares about. This is what's most important to his heart, is people that are far from him coming to know him as Savior and Lord. Lives, futures are completely changed. The things we pray about are important. I want you to hear that. Cars and kids and all of that stuff's important. And we're commanded to pray consistently, right? About everything. I think we'd do better if we prayed more about those things. But these upper story prayers are what change eternity. These upper story prayers are what change the world. People's lives. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I'll give you whatever you ask in my name. And what we start seeing as we put those things together, his will is that people would come to know him as Savior and Lord. Those are upper story prayers. Those are the prayers that the power of heaven gets behind. Those are the powers that when we pray those things, God unleashes all the resources that he has. You know, we pray that God would use our lives, because here's the next challenge for you, is to insert you into that prayer. We pray that God would use our lives to connect the Word of God to the souls of people. That's a bold prayer. That's a life-changing prayer for us. It changes the focus and the mission of your life. You know, here's what I love about that. If we start putting all of these passages together, Jesus says, I will give you whatever you ask in my name. And then Jesus says, whoever believes in my name will not perish, right? So these prayers, we're taking the whatevers that God gives us, right? The power of whatever, and we're connecting it to the whomevers. Do you see that? That's what this whole thing is about, praying in Jesus' name. Connecting the power of whatever to the whoevers. And here's the thing I know. Is real, and I know it as sure as I'm standing here in front of you, is that these words are true, and you're proof of it. You are proof. I wonder how many power of whatever prayers were prayed over you, so that you would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You ever think about that? Maybe it was a grandmother. Maybe it was a mom or dad. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a coworker. I'm super fortunate. I know some of the people that prayed those prayers for me. Ron Penrose ran a little Assembly of God church on the coast of California back in the early 70s. And God put it on his heart to start evangelizing my family. And my family treated Ron Penrose like trash. They were horrible to him. And my mom and dad would spend most Sunday mornings hungover. And so Ron would come during the week and talk to my family. And he was so nice all the time. But he'd send the church bus on Sunday morning. So me and one of my sisters would get on the church bus because it got us out of mom and dad's hair and go to that church for about a year and a half. And I know for a fact that Ron Penrose prayed God-sized power of whatever prayers over my life. And God answered those prayers. A couple years ago, I'd looked him up. Well, it's been probably 8 years ago. I tried to look him up because I wanted to tell him. I don't know if you know what happened, but that kid that was so horrible to you, he's a pastor now. And I found out that he had gone to be with Jesus. So now I know that he knows. But God gave me the blessing of a baptism we did here about 4 years ago. The young man we were baptizing, his wife's family grew up in Ron Penrose's church. And so God kind of brought it full circle. Have you ever thought about who those people are that have prayed those prayers for you so you could know Jesus? Let's go to 1,028 people that we got to serve during the Harvest Festival. What could happen if we prayed those God-sized whatever, power of whatever in my name prayers for 1,028 people? That's 10% of our community. What could God do with their lives, but also the lives that they will impact in the future? That sounds like generational changing, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We are going to pray. And I invite you to join me. We're going to work through this active prayer acrostic and prayer time this morning. And we're going to pray specifically for those things that are close to God's heart. So I'm just going to kind of lead us a little bit this morning and invite you to follow along in your time with God. So we're going to start with adoring God. We're going to pray. We're going to bow our hearts together, bow our heads, because as the King comes into the room, we bow. So, Father God, we do adore you this morning. You are powerful, and you are good, and you are holy, and you are perfect. And your plan is perfect, and you're creative, God. And your creation's beautiful. And you invite us into relationship, God, with you, and invite us into relationship with your Son. Through him, Lord God, even this morning, we know that we're in your throne room talking to you. And it's just amazing that we can talk to the Creator of the world. And Father, we confess that sometimes our priorities get wonky. We get lost sometimes from your heart. We get overwhelmed with shame and from our sin, or we get overwhelmed with our desires and our wants that sometimes take precedence in our life over yours. We look at people sometimes, instead of people that are dearly loved, we look at them as things to be used or things that are in our way from accomplishing our tasks and our will. So, Father, we pray that you would, well, first we thank you for the reminder of what's important, but we also ask, Father God, that you would bring us to repentance in that, that you would teach us to see people the way that you see them, to love people the way that you love them, to know that your way in their life is best, and to show us, Lord God, how to play a role in that. Lord, we thank you. We have so much to be grateful for. We thank you for Jesus and his love and the family we get to be a part of because of him, a family that goes beyond the community we live in, but it's a global family, Lord. It goes even beyond this era that we live in. It stretches eternity past and eternity future. I thank you for those who have prayed the whatever size prayers in our lives. Those that prayed and invited us to know Jesus. And we thank you, God, at how you answered those prayers and you honored those prayers. And we look forward to lives of peace and lives of hope, Lord God, in a future that's guaranteed by you as a result of those prayers. And so, God, as we intercede for those this morning that we know, we ask, Lord, that you would unleash your power in the lives of those we're praying for today. And church, I just invite you this morning to use your sanctified imagination to picture a face of someone that you want to come to know Christ. That you would ask God to reveal himself to them. That they would come to know Jesus. That you would ask God to use you to share Christ with them. To invite them into a relationship with him. To invite them to be a part of this family. So God, we do pray that you would, however you choose to, through crisis, through blessing, through sickness, through an awareness of your favor, however you choose to do that, Lord, that you would draw people to know you and that you would show us, Lord, how to play a role in that, knowing that the results all come from you. You're the one that saves. You're the one that changes lives, but you invite us to be a part of that process. And Lord, we do pray against the enemy this morning. We pray, we know that you've already obtained the victory, Jesus, that you overcame sin and death. And you say that in you, we are more than conquerors. You say that the gates of hell cannot stop your church. So Father, we do pray against Satan this morning. We pray against lies that he may be even whispering into our ears this morning. That we're not good enough, or that we are too small, or that our sin is too big, or that those people will never be saved. We pray, God, that you would remind Satan this morning that he is defeated, and you would help us to be reminded this morning of who we are in you. Saints, conquerors, victorious. And Lord, as we pray, we look expectantly to see you at work. We look expectantly, Lord God, to those who will come to know Jesus. Those who even now, maybe today, will ask questions about this God that we serve. They will ask questions for the hope that we have. And we ask, Father God, that you would give us the courage to be bold in telling them about this God who came to save the world. Jesus, we look forward to the baptisms that will happen. Confessions of faith. For the lives that are being changed as a result of the prayers we are praying today. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. So here's my invitation. Look around your neighborhood this week. Your jobs. Your schools. And as you look around those things, knowing that you're part of this mission to save the world, that Jesus is, I mean, he's the author and perfecter of this, right? He invites us to play a part. And ask yourself, as you're in those environments, wherever they are, what would Jesus be doing here? How would Jesus talk to that kid who's just rebellious and having a tough time? How would Jesus comfort that woman who's struggling? And then I would ask him, what does Jesus want to do through me? When you pray these prayers, sometimes the answer comes back, well, that's impossible. Anyone experience that? God specializes in impossible. Sometimes you come back, you know, I don't have the words to say. I don't have the resources to use. I don't have the skills. Perfect. That's where God works the best, I think. So we're going to continue this morning with just a little bit of praying as we prepare to receive communion elements today. I think the servers are already passing them out. So if you're new at this, If you're a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you that we have what's called an open communion table. Invite you to take the cup and the bread if you're a follower of Christ, to spend some time preparing your heart to take them, and then we'll take these elements together as a family in just a minute. Let's continue to pray. I am so grateful that we serve a God that wants us to know Him. And He proved it by leaving heaven and coming to earth, by living among us, by going to the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. He doesn't stop there. He overcomes sin and death and invites us into life with Him, where we experience His goodness. So we take these elements with grateful hearts this morning. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup and said, this is my body, which is for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take together. Please join me as we pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you're the God of the impossible. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our shame, in the midst of our brokenness. You reveal your Son with power. And His Son regenerates our hearts and gives us new life. And we thank you, Lord God, for each person that's here, who's in that process with you of salvation and of being sanctified, and just being reminded this morning of how good our God is. We thank you, Lord, that through your Son, Jesus, we have direct access to your throne room to pray. And we thank you, God, that you reveal your heart to us and you show us what to pray for and how to pray even, and how to be comforted by you and how to be encouraged and strengthened. So, Father, I pray that we would be a church that would spend more time on our knees doing battle for those around us who don't know that there's an upper story going on. They don't know that there's a God whose heart toward them is good, who came on a rescue mission, who wants to give them a life and a future that they can only dream of now. Lord, I pray that you would just comfort those this morning that need to be comforted. that you would give strength to those who are weak, that you would give an abundant measure of grace to those who feel ashamed, that you would show them that in you they are new creations, that in you they have a future and a hope. We love you, Jesus. And we pray all of this in your mighty name. Amen. I have some people that are going to be in the back of the room this morning. If you'd like to pray for something going on in your life, if you'd like to pray for somebody, there are safe people that would love to pray with you. And we're going to sing one final song. So if you'd like to stand and sing with us, that would be great. I'm super excited to see who comes to know Jesus as a result of what you prayed this morning. Be looking for it, right? These are those prayers. I remember when I first started as a pastor, Dan Lynch, this elder that was like 300 years old, looked at me and he said, there's one prayer that God always answers. It may take longer than you think and it may cost you more than you think, but he cares about saving people, right? And we get to be a part of that. Amazing. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for the snow. We thank you for limiting the snow. We thank you, Lord God, for drawing people to know you. May we be those people on the mission that you say that we are. That we would care about those deep things in people's lives. We would care about their relationship with you. And we would continue, Lord God, to invite people to know you. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Hey, hug someone this morning, church. Love you.